what I want to talk about is the holidays. The holidays are all listed in our parsha. And the thing is that, you know, you can learn a lot about a nation, really the soul of the nation, through the holidays that they have throughout the year. I think that you can learn a lot about God through the holidays that He has fixed in His book, the Torah. So, if you take a look at this list, which is basically on the first page here, it's in Vayigra Perek Chaf Gimel. So it starts like this: Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, Amart Alehem Moadei Hashem Asher Tikro Otam Migrei Kodesh Elahem Moadai. So God tells Moshe, tell the children of Israel that these are my holidays. These are the holidays. Okay. So now in Pasuk Gimel, we expect to see the beginning of the holidays. Shesha yamim ta'asa melacha, u'b'yom ha'shvi'i, shabbat, shabbaton, mikra, kodesh, kol melecha, lo ta'asu, shabbat, hi, la'ashem, b'chol, moshvoteichem. So it says 6 days you will do your work, and the seventh day is a day of rest, a holy convocation, mikra, kodesh. You don't do any work, and you have this shabbat Hashem. So this is a big problem because, you know, I mean, it's very nice to say that Shabbat is a holiday, but Shabbat really isn't a holiday. I mean, Shabbat is Shabbat, and the holidays are the holidays. There's two different things going on here. So the Ibn Ezra tries to answer in a kind of a Pashut way. He says, V'tam eila heim mo'adai, ba'avur heyot shabbatot rabot b'shana. So he's saying, okay, it's not exactly a holiday. These are like, you know, appointed times, mo'adim. So the Shabbat, there's a lot of appointed Shabbats, appointed times. He tries to, like, include it in the language, but it's a problem. It's a problem, okay? Now, there's another problem, and that's in the next pasuk. So the next pasuk says, Eile mo'adei Hashem. So now we're going to start over. Wait, I know you're talking about the mo'adim. Why are you telling me again? Eile mo'adei Hashem, these are the appointed times, or God's appointed times, Mikra Kodesh. These are the holy convocations, the holidays. Asher tikru otam b'moadam. So now, why do we need this twice? So Rashi gives a sort of technical answer. He says, Lamala, in Pasuk Bet that we read, Midaber be'ibur shana, v'kan midaber be'kiddush ha'chodesh. So he says, look, in order to make the holiday calendar, you need to do actually two things. One is you need to do this ibur of shana. You need to make sure that Shabbat, that Pesach is lined up in spring, and so you, as it were, impregnate, if we translate the word literally, you plant another month of Adar to shift the holiday season into place, into the solar calendar. So that's one thing that you need to do. The other thing that you need to do is you need to lekadesh haChodesh. You need to say, okay, this is the first of the month. That's going to cause a shift of a few days, and so you need to basically take action in two ways. And so Rashi says that you can learn from these two times that it says Eilem O'adai, or these are the holidays, that you need to do two things to fix the holiday calendar. But this is really a technical answer. It doesn't really exactly fit, and what exactly is Shabbat doing here as a holiday, and why is it off on its own before we get into the holidays again? So we'll see. Rashi has another answer which may help us to get a deeper perspective of the holiday season. All right, so now, as we said, we're reading in Pasuk Dalet, it says, Eile mo'adei Hashem. It says, now these are the holidays. And in Pasuk Hey, so it starts off telling us what's the first holiday? Pesach. So it says, B'chodesh harishon ba'arba asar l'chodesh bein arbain Pesach la'Hashem. So that's our first holiday. And I skip to Pasuk Zayin. B'yom harishon mikra kodesh yelachem kol melacha melechet avodo lo ta'asu. It's a holy convocation. This mikra kodesh is a key word that appears throughout this, and it's going to mean a holiday. This is a holiday, this is a holiday, this is a holiday. Now we learned that Shabbat is a Mikra Kodesh, but it's offset from the whole listing of our holidays as we know them. Pesach is the first one, and then in the next verse in Chet, V'ikravta Mishel Hashem Shivat Yamim B'yom HaShvi'i Mikra Kodesh. And so now we have a second holiday. The first holiday is the first of Pesach, the second holiday is the seventh of Pesach, and now we move on to the Omer and Shavuot. Now if you notice, I bolded the pays here, you know, it's a Parsha Ptucha, that means it's like a standalone idea, right? And then there's the Samechs, which are a sort of a subcategory. It's a Parsha Stuma, which means that it's on its own, but it's connected. Okay? So the first Parsha Ptucha that we had, the standalone was Shabbat, the next one is Pesach, and now we have this long one which includes the Omer and Shavuot together. So, as we know, you know, you have this bringing of the Omer at the beginning of the season. Here it says, "Daber b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta lehem ki tabo el ha'aretz asher ani oten lachem, uksartem et ktsira ve'evetem et Omer reshit kitzirchem el ha'kohen." So, in through the agricultural cycle, so the first harvest, we bring a bushel of barley, an Omer, and that's the beginning of this Omer time, which then he goes on at the beginning of Shavuot, where it's in Pasuk Tedvav. Usfartem lachem mimocharat haShabbat miyom habiyachem et haOmer, and so now you make a count from the day after Pesach, from the day that you bring the Omer, Omer at Nufa Sheva Shabbatot Tamimot Tiyena. You'll count 7 complete weeks. Ad mimachar haShabbat haShviit Tisperu Chamishim Yom Vikraftem Mincha Chadasha laHashem. And so then, when you get to that 50th day, you will bring a new offering, a mincha, which is the Shtei Alechem, and which is what we call the holiday of Shavuot. So here it says in the grayed out text in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, so it says, Ukratem be'etzem ayom hazeh mikra kodesh. So now we have a third holiday, Shavuot. Okay? Holiday number 3. Then we go on to Pasuk Chaf Gimel, V'deber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, Daber el b'nei Yisrael le'mor, B'chodesh ha'shvi'i, B'chad l'chodesh, Yeh lachem Shabbaton, Zichron Trua mikra kodesh. So now, on the first day of the 7th month, which was what we know as Rosh Hashanah, is also Mikra Kodesh, the 4th holiday. Okay? Then he says here in, I keep saying he, whatever, you know, God or Moshe. It's actually God telling Moshe. In Chavav, Vaydeber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Ach ba'asor l'chodesh ha'shvi'i hazeh yom ha'kippurim hu Mikra Kodesh. And so now, we learn of a 5th holiday, Yom Kippur, which is the 10th of the month of Tishrei. So that goes on and says, right, that we know it's a day of atonement. We don't do any work. And now we go to the next section, Lamed Gimel. Vaydeber Hashem el Moshe leimor, daber el b'nei Yisrael leimor, b'chamishi asar yom l'chodesh ha'shvi'i hazeh chag Sukkot. So now we have this next holiday of Sukkot, which is on the 15th of the month of Tishrei. And Lamed Hey, it says, b'yom harishon mikra kodesh. So now we have a 6th holiday, the first day of Sukkot. And now I skip, b'yom hashmini mikra kodesh yeh lachem v'kravtem ishel Hashem atzeret hi kom alechet avodah lo tasu. And now we have the 7th holiday, which is Shmini Atzeret. Okay, the 8th day of Sukkot, or the day after the 7 days of Sukkot. And then the section basically rounds out by saying, Eilemo de Hashem ashitriku otam Mikrai Kodesh. These are the holidays. Okay? By Moshe, the last verse Mem Dal says, by Moshe et Moadei Hashem El Bnei Yisrael. So this is the holiday list. Okay? So now, what I want to try to understand is, what do we get out of this list? Why is Shabbat put off on its own? Why is it called? Why do we repeat this Eilem Moadei twice? And what can we really learn? We said that at the end of the day, what we want to understand is, does this annual calendar of holidays teach us anything about who God is, who we are, what God wants of us? If you turn over the page,
well, 7 certainly is a significant number.
Yes. So now, if you take a look, Rashi, I said, would ask this question about why does it say Shabbat in the list of the holidays? Ma inyan Shabbat etzel ha'moadot, etzel ha'moadot. Right? He asks exactly our question: why Shabbat in this list? L'lamedcha shekol ha'mechalel et ha'moadot. Malina lava kiilu chilel et haShabbatot. Mechol mekayem et haMoadot. Malina lava kiilu kiyem et haShabbatot. Very interesting. What it says here, the answer to your question is that Shabbat is in some way very parallel to all the holidays, to the point that if you keep the holidays, right? Oh, no, sorry. He starts off by saying, if you violate the holidays, it's like you violated Shabbat. So here I would say, okay, he's trying to teach us that we shouldn't take lightly the holidays. We all know Shabbat is a big deal. You have to keep Shabbat. So he's saying you also have to keep the holidays. But then he gives you the flip side that says, and if you keep the holidays, it's like keeping Shabbat. So I could be an idiot and say, well, I'll just keep the holidays and I won't keep Shabbat. I'll go to the beach and I'm good. That's what it says. Right? I mean, you could read it like that, but obviously you have to understand the context and you have to understand the point. And I think that once we go through and understand the holidays, you will begin to understand the depth of what Rashi is saying and really get the answer to why Shabbat, why the holidays, and why all of this calendar for us. All right, so now let's try to go through the meaning of these holiday lists. So now it says here in the Sifri, this is not the only place that the holidays are listed. There are actually three places where we list all the holidays. This is the first one, B'Torat Kohanim in Vayikra, which we just read, Mipnei Sidran. The reason that this is listed here is to teach you that there's an order to the holidays, and it's a very important order. Okay, so that's what we want to focus on. The other two places are in Chumash Pikudim, in Pinchas, it teaches about the Korbanot there, and in Mishnah Torah, which is in Sefer Dvarim, in Parshat Re'eh, it teaches us about the whole issue of lining up the holidays with the solar calendar. Okay? So, but here, our list in Parshat Emor that we just read is a list of the way the holidays appear. It's supposed to teach us something about the order. Okay? All right. So now if we start with the first one, we read again, it's about Pesach. But what really is at the essence of Pesach, right? I mean, you can get into all kinds of things, but at the very core, the basic idea of Pesach, God tells Moshe, Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Re'o ra'iti et ani ami, asher b'mitzrayim ve'et sa'akatam shamati mipnei negosav, ki yadati et machovav, ered la'tzilo. Okay, so now, this is the very beginning of the Pesach holiday, you could say, is when God comes to Moshe at the burning bush and says, it's time to go. Okay? And he says, you know, the Jews have been suffering, and they're not just the Jews, they're not just the children of Israel, they're Ami, they're my people. Okay? What I want to say here is that at the core of the Pesach celebration is becoming a people. We are God's people. And you see that again in Perek Vav of Shemot. Lachen emor lebnei Yisrael, ani Hashem hotzeti etchem mitachat sivlot haMitzrayim. I am, tell the children of Israel, I am God, I'm coming to take you out of your suffering in Mitzrayim. Vehitzalti etchem me'avodatam, and I will save you from the slave labor. Vega'alti etchem bizra netuyah, and I will redeem you with a mighty arm, or an outstretched arm, I should say, ushfatim gedolim, and with great judgments. Velakachti etchem li la'am, and I will take you to be a people. So it's not just about, you know, getting out of slavery, it's about becoming a people. This is the formation of the nation. So Pesach is about celebrating that we are a people. Vahiti lachem lalohim, and I will be to you to God. Now, there's much more to it than that in our celebration, because it's not just about being a people, it's about being a certain kind of people. So now Moshe in Parak Yud Bet, in Parshat Bo, he explains the celebration of Pesach. Vaya hayom hazeh lachem lezikaron v'chagotem oto chag la'ashem, and this will be a big festival that you're going to celebrate to God l'dorotechem, for all generations, chukat olam techaguhu. And it's a fixed principle for all time that you will celebrate this. Shivat yamim matzot tochela. I bolded these words, matzot tochela. You are going to eat matzah. This is integral to this celebration. I'm taking you as a people, and for you to remember that, you're going to eat matzah.
Although we don't have a mitzvah. So.
Right. Now, what's that?
We don't have a mitzvah to eat matzah for 7 days.
Right, okay, so we're going to go on. It says, Ach b'yom arishom, tashbitu se'or mibatechem, ki kol ochel chametz, v'nichrata nefesh ahi mi'Yisrael. Miyom arishon ad yom hashvi. So yes, there's the main mitzvah d'oraita is of course to eat on Leil HaSeder in order to symbolize that actual coming out. But afterwards, we are the main thing is not to eat chametz. The two are obviously, you know, symbolic antithesis of each other. And so something about matzah which is critical, and something about chametz which is critical that we need to avoid. So what if we go on in the psukim? It says vayafu et habatzek asher hotziu mimitzrayim ugot matzot ki lo chametz ki gorshu mimitzrayim velo yachlu lehitmameah v'gam tzeda lo asu lahem. So what I learned from this one verse is something very important about matzah. Matzah is special because it's not chametz, because it didn't leaven, it didn't rise. And why didn't it rise? Because I had no time for it to rise. I would have wanted that, but I had no time. Why? Because time was out of my possession. I was not in control. I was forced out of Egypt. I was grabbed by my neck and pulled out of Egypt. The Egyptians chased me out. God pulled me out. I had nothing to do with it. And that's the message of the matzah. That's the message of the chametz. Matzah is the flat bread of dependence. We didn't have anything to do with it. God took us, lakachti la'am. God took us as his people. That's the message that we need to understand on Pesach. We are dependent on God. If we weren't dependent, I mean, if it wasn't for God, we would be slaves in Egypt. So the message is, we are dependent on God. That's the message of the formation of the people. And that's directly opposed to the idea of chametz. Chametz represents initiative. Chametz represents personal responsibility. Chametz represents taking matters into my hand and I'm going out, right? But no, we didn't do that. Pesach is about being dependent on Hashem, what Rav Soloveitchik calls Brit Goral. He says it's the exodus of Mitzrayim was cut the covenant of fate, the fate of the Jewish people. We all share the same fate. We are one people. We were thrown into Egypt. We were made slaves. We were pulled out of Egypt. It was all fate. It was all, we are one people sharing one fate. Okay? Now that's not the end of the story of the Jewish people. And that's not the end of the story of becoming a person who actualizes his potential. This is just the beginning. The beginning of the holiday season is about realizing that you are dependent on God. And you are part of this people who are dependent on God. However, that's not where the story ends. Then we move on to Brit Yehud, the Rav Soloveitchik calls it, the covenant of destiny. There's fate and there's destiny. So what does he mean by that? Well, if we look through the psukim, so it says here that first of all we have to count these days, right? Usfartem lachem mimacharat haShabbat till you get to Shavuot. Okay. So now Shavuot is the receiving of the Torah, as it says in Psikta Zutra here, b'yom haShabbat shehu shishi b'chodesh. Kiblu aseret hadibrot, vehu yom chag haShavuot, yom matan Torah, yom chamishim liyetziat Mitzrayim. Okay, the 50th day is that day that we got the Torah. Okay, and the Torah is the Yehud. The Torah is the destiny. The Torah is our guide and our purpose. We're taken out of Egypt to get this Torah to fulfill God's will. Okay? And so by doing the Torah, we fulfill our destiny. We take initiative. We read this book. We learn this book on our own initiative. We accepted the Torah on our own initiative. Na'aseh v'nishma. Right? We accept the Torah every year, every day. We accept the Torah 50 days after Pesach in order to take ourselves out of that level of dependency where we're just sitting and waiting for God to push us along to where we have a purpose. And so there's a bridge, however. There's a bridge of 50 days. That's what this counting of the Omer about. The counting of the Omer is basically about getting this idea into us that we were dependent on God, and now we have to keep that sort of in the back of our minds that we are dependent on God, but He also expects us to take initiative. We're not just supposed to sit around and say, oh, well, if God wants it, so let Him do it, right? No. God wanted to take us as a people, and slowly, slowly, over these count of 49 days, we we grow ourselves, we educate ourselves, we develop ourselves to be able to become independent, and that's what we bring the Shtei Alechem. We bring these two bread loaves of pure chametz, the bread of independence, the bread of initiative. That's what Shavuot is about. And so now, when we do that, if you take a look at the I think it's like the third source from the bottom of the page, Shmot Perik Yud Tet. So now in Pasuk Dalet, it's four lines up at the very end, it says, Atem ra'itim asher asiti lemitzrayim eseh etchem al kan eseh ve'eseh etchem al kanfei nesharim v'avi etchem elai. God took us on wings of eagles to bring him to him. Ve'ata, and now, im shamoa tishmu bekoli, ushmartem et briti, v'aitem li l'skula, mikol amim ki li kol ha'art. So now he says something very interesting. He says that this is a choice. I brought you out of Egypt, but now I want you to accept this Torah. This is the proposal. I didn't read the first verse here. It says, "B'chodesh ashlishi letzei bnei Yisrael." This is the coming to Mount Sinai. God says, if you will listen to me, if you will do this Torah, if you will take on this task, this is an incredibly holy task, so you will, and you will keep the covenant, meaning doing the Torah, so you will be a special people to me, an amskula, and you will be different from all the other peoples. Va'atem, now in Pasuk Vav, atem to you, li, mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh, and you will be a nation of priests and a holy nation, right? A kingdom of priests, rather, and a holy nation. Elad v'ayim asher t'daber el b'nei Yisrael. So God tells Moshe, go and propose this to them, and the Jews say, no, Aseh v'nishma, will do it. Okay? So now, what does it mean to be a mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh? We're going to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So now, part of that, we can understand we're going to be a nation of priests means that basically we are the representatives of God. Just like priests are the representatives of God, so the whole nation are representatives of God. And a holy nation, so we're somehow elevated in some way, shape, or form. How? That brings us to the next stage of holidays. So if you turn over the page to page 3, so the next holiday in the series is Rosh Hashanah. Now, what's Rosh Hashanah about? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is in Gemara on Rosh Hashanah. God says, Va'amru lefanai b'Rosh Hashanah, you should say before me, Psukim shel Malchuyot, Zichronot v'Shofrot. You should say before me on Rosh Hashanah these some verses about kingship, about remembrance, and about the shofar. So what are these kingship? Malchuyot, kedei shetamlichuni. Aleichem, you should say the verses of kingship in order that you take me as your king. So now what we understand here is that we're supposed to be a kingdom of priests. Very nice. Who's the king? God. Okay, so we learned that on Rosh Hashanah, we accept upon ourselves this task of being a kingdom of priests with God as the king. Very good. But it's not just about that. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud says, Tanya Rabbi Elazar, Omer, B'tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. But Tishrei Nivra Olam means that Tishrei and Rosh Hashanah is not about the Jewish people like Pesach and Shavuot. It's about the whole world. The world was created. And this makes perfect sense because we're supposed to be a mamlechet kohanim. That's, if we're all priests, I mean, we're not priests to each other here, right? We're a nation of priests to some community. Each community has a priest. So we are the priests of the world. We are the representatives of God to the world. And that's why what Rosh Hashanah comes to tell us is you're taking me on as king and to be the representative of me to the whole world. Rosh Hashanah is about the universalism, about God creating and caring about the whole world. And that's why we see here also the famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. But Arba Prakim Alam Nidon, four times the world is judged, but Pesach al Tvua, on Pesach for the crops, but Atzeret al Peirot Ha'ilan, and on Shavuot for the fruits of the trees. Berosh Hashanah Kol Baye Olam Ovrin Lefanav Kebnei Morin Maron. And on Rosh Hashanah, the whole world passes before God in judgment. Rosh Hashanah is about the whole world. Okay, it's about, and it's about us taking on God as the king and us realizing our task as part of that whole process. All right, Rav Kook says it like this, something very interesting. He says like this on the issue of calling Avraham, Avraham and not Avram. Right, Avram had his name changed, and so now I believe it's the Gemara says Tani Bar Kapara, Kola Korela Avraham Avram Over Be'aseh. If you call Avraham Avram his old name, it's like you violated a negative commandment. Okay, a positive commandment. Over Be'aseh, you violated a positive commandment in order to tell Avraham he's Avraham. But there must be more to it. So Rav Cook says like this, Ki tzarich lashrish shetachlit hamatara shel ha'lumiyut shel Yisrael eina chozkenu la'omtzenu v'lekvishat ha'amim kebiyotse b'zeh. Dvarim shekol ha'amim mishtokekim lahem mirov ha'avat atzmam. Ki im ipnei sha'lumiyut shelanu meviyah bracha v'shleimut lekol ha'olam kulo. He says, the reason that we are so careful to not call Avraham Avram is because Avram was this individual. And Avraham is Av Hamon Goim. He's a father to all the nations. And you have to inculcate in yourselves as the children of Avraham that our nationhood and our patriotism, our nationalism, is not about ourselves, like all the other nations who are busy trying to just conquer lands and take over things for themselves and have power for their own nation. Our nationhood is about bringing blessing to all the nations. And so he says here, Al Kain b'tchilat binyana, shesof ma'aseh b'machshva tchila, hi b'shvil takanat v'ahavat kol ha'min ha'enoshi. At the very beginning of the building of the nation, meaning from Avraham, we are supposed to understand that built into this is the love of all of humanity. And so we are supposed to be, like the prophet Yeshayahu says in the next verse, or Legoim. We are supposed to be a light unto the nations. That's our mission. Light unto the nation. Kingdom of priests. The whole idea of Rosh Hashanah is accepting God as king and us as his priests. Okay, because we are priests to the whole world that's being judged at that time. But now, so that explains the Mamlechet Kohanim part, but what about the Goy Kadosh? What about this holy nation? I have to be a holy nation? I'm a priest. I teach people Torah, be more people. What does it mean, Goy Kadosh? So that brings us to Yom Kippur. So Yom Kippur, basically before Yom Kippur, we read on in the Parsha before in Parshat Kedoshim, if you look in Pasuk Vav, it says, Vayitam li Kedoshim ki Kadosh ani. You Jewish people need to be holy because I'm holy. Va'avdil etchem min ha'amim liyot li. And because of this, I will separate you from the rest of the nations. Basically, what holiness means is, okay, we're regular people. We like to do all kinds of things that everybody does. We bicycle and skateboard and do all kinds of sports, and we go to work and we develop all technologies and science and math and medicine and whatever it is that everybody does. But we're a holy nation. We do this on a different level. We realize that there's a God and we represent Him. And that we, at the end of the day, do all the things that we do in order to represent godliness in the world. That it's possible to be a normal nation doing all the things that nations do to help the world to be a better place, to do it in a moral way. And so now what Rashi says on this is really amazing. He says in the underlined part, it says, Im atem muvdalim mehem, hare atem shali. If you separate from the other people and take on this task, so you are my people. Ve'im lav, hare atem shal nebuchadnetzer v'chavei rav. And if you don't take this on, you are under the influence of Nebuchadnezzar and all the other oppressors of the Jewish people. Right? He didn't say, so if you take this on, you're my people, and if you don't, so you have a nice time at the beach. No, you don't get a choice. Either you do what I said and you're my people, or you suffer the consequences. This isn't a free choice thing. God saved us. We're dependent on Him, and now He is saying, you're my people. And this is the job. You have got to take it. You have to be a Goy Kadosh. Right? And now, that's not an easy thing, because we're regular people, and so we do sins. And how can you be a teacher of morality if you're not moral? You need to get yourself in line. And that's what Yom Kippur is about. right? Yom Kippur, we read in our parsha in Pasuk Lamed, Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem letaher etchem mikol chatotechem lifnei Hashem titharu. It says, on this day of Yom Kippur, you will be atoned for. Yechaper aleichem, the day itself really is going to provide an atonement for you to purify you, and from all your sins before me you will become purified. So this whole thing of being pure is basically that we're cleaning ourselves up. And everybody knows, of course, you can't do bad things without taking care of business. You can't steal without giving it back and doing all those things. But what God is saying is that, you know, you may have done things to avoid my task. You may have done things with the mission and the mitzvot between God and man. So you come to me and you say you're ready to get with the program, we'll clean you up. And so, and then if you cleaned yourself up with the people, so then you're also cleaned up with me and you can get on with the program. Again, this follows perfectly in line. You're going to be a people, Pesach. You're going to be realize that you're dependent on me, and then you're going to realize that you have an independence by taking on the task of the Torah. This task of the Torah, by the way, is Mamlechet Kohanim. It's not about you and your little people and your little land. It's about the whole world, Rosh Hashanah. And then to be a kingdom of priests, you need to be a holy nation. You need to be pure. You need to be straight. You need to be an example. And so Yom Kippur helps you to reset and get in line with that again. And then that brings us to Sukkot. So at Sukkot, we finally get a chance to actually be the Mamlechet Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh to the whole world. As it says here, v'chagotem oto chag la'ashem tshivat yamim b'shana chukat olam l'dorotechem v'chodesh ha'shvi'i t'chagu oto. And then I skip to the third line, and ki b'sukkot hoshavti et b'nei Yisrael b'hotzi otam me'eretz Mitzrayim. So now Sukkot sort of ties us back to Pesach, and it says, don't think that this is all, you know, a linear kind of progression. It's actually a whole circle. It's all one thing. At the end of the day, I took you out of Egypt to get you to this Sukkot level. I took you out so that you could serve the nations. We are supposed to serve the nations. How do we see that in the Gemara here? In Masachet Sukkah, Shivim Parim Keneged Mi, we're supposed to bring 70 cows as sacrifices during the week of Sukkot. Keneged Shivim Oumot, we bring these sacrifices as a sort of ritual worship with God, representing all the nations of the world. And so Sukkot really is an international holiday. Sukkot really is about us finally performing that task that God took us out for, that God purified us for. We are now doing the Mamlechet Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh task. And the Malbim says, but it's more than that. Okay, you know, there's this whole machloka between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva, right, about what do the Sukkot represent? Do they represent represent the clouds of glory that God took us, or do they represent the actual huts that we lived in, right? So the Malbim says they represent both, and they both represent the sort of the same idea in different ways. So if you look in the underlying part, it says here, Rotzeh lomar shehadorot habaim bli yarim levavam be'et ha'asif shemil'u batehem tov v'yachshavu ha'olam hazeh lebayit v'chayehem v'tachlitam. Yedu v'yasimu al lev ki besukot hoshavti et bnei Yisrael la'ir ozen sha'olam hazeh malon orchim v'yidirat arai. So he says, the first thing is that I put you in these shacks in order for you to realize that when you're busy collecting all of your agricultural bounty, and now you're really feeling wealthy, and you're thinking, wow, I'm just great. I've got everything I need, and I'm good to go. So you have to realize, no, okay, it's not about this world. It's not about having a mansion and a yacht and thinking, you know, okay, I'm done. No, this is a dirat arai. We are living, this world is a temporary dwelling place. And so at this time when we're feeling the bounty, we also need to realize once again that really this is a temporary place. And it's we might as well be living in shacks with thatch on our roofs, okay? And that's what the message is. So now, what about the Anane Kavod? So if you look in the next underlined part, Rotzer Lamar, She Yis'u Einehem Min Ha'adama Asher Iskuba La'ovda V'la'asof Tvuata Al Ela Shamayim Shesham Shorasham B'Kodesh V'Tachlit Zeh Sachach Aleihem Be'Anane HaKavod B'Midbar. So he says, the Anane Kavod sort of give the same message, that when you are busy looking at your earth, the land that you harvested all your wealth from, and you should not be looking down, you should be looking up. The purpose is God. The purpose is Kedusha. The purpose is holiness. We have a purpose in this world. Like we said, it's to be God's people, to be moral people, to fix the world, to help the whole world fix itself and be the perfection that God wanted for it. So now, we get to that finally, to this to the last holiday, which is the holiday of Shmini Atzeret. Okay, and the last line here, so Rashi says in Bamidbar, Perek Chavtet, Umidrasho ba'agada lefi shekol yemot haregel, hikrivu keneged shivim umot. All the other days of the holidays, the Jewish people were busy bringing sacrifices for the rest of the world. We were basically at work. The holiday of Sukkot is a work day for us, is a work week for us, right? We're basically being the Mamlechet Kohanim for the whole world. But now when we're done with our task, Amar lahem amakom, so God said to the Jewish people, Bavakasha, Mikem Asuli Su'udak Tana Kadesha. And so he says, have one holiday for me. This whole progression of holidays was to get to this one holiday. The one real holiday of the Jewish people is the celebration that we did what we're supposed to do. Pesach is to remind us that we're dependent on God and that we're a people of God. Shavuot is getting that task that God wants us to do this thing. And by the way, if you don't do this thing, Nebuchadnezzar, right? Exile and suffering. And then after Shavuot, so then we go and get, and then we go and realize the Mamlechet Kohanim idea to the whole world, Rosh Hashanah, and we get purified with Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we do the job. Finally, Shmini Atzeret is the one day that we celebrate with God. Okay? And we also really sort of inculcate in ourselves this whole message of the holiday season. This is the end of the holiday season. And so we realize that we need to take that with us for the rest of the year. Right? And so now we can go back to the idea of Shabbat. So we understood the whole holiday season makes sense. But what's Shabbat doing here? Right? So the holiday season was about the purpose of the Jewish people, right? The purpose of the Jewish people to help God perfect the world. But that's what Shabbat is about. Shabbat is the whole goal, right? Look what Rav Tzadok Meblublin says. I mean, this is said in many ways in many places, but I like how Rav Tzadok Meblublin says it from one of his Divrei Chalomot. We should be always zocha to have such great dreams. So he says here, the ilmale. Oh, I will start from the beginning. V'zeu tachlit hashleimut ki bo Shabbat. Okay, so this is the whole point of perfection is Shabbat. V'ilmale zacha adam harishon shelo chata v'nichnas l'kedushat yom haShabbat v'lo chet hayu kol haolamot b'shleimutan. What he says here is amazing. He says, Adam HaRishon is sort of like the microcosm of creation. And Adam HaRishon had this chance. God created him. He gave him the mitzvah and the, you know, the asay, the lo ta'asay. And if he had managed to keep the Torah of the Eitz Hadaat Tov Hara, he would have completed creation and entered perfection, which is known as Shabbat. Okay? Shabbat is the goal of creation. It's the perfection of creation. But so now, Adam HaRishon, as we know, didn't do it. And so now I skip to the underlying part. V'haya oto Shabbat hayom shekulo Shabbat. That one Shabbat wouldn't just be a simple Shabbat like what we do. It would be the day that's fully Shabbat, la'atid lavo. It would be this perfection that we're talking about that we're trying to reach. Ela shachet garam. What can we do? Sin may caused it to happen. Vitzrichim lahamtin lezeh ad elef hashvi'i. And so we have to wait for the 7,000 year. So just to refresh your memories, I mean, it's, most people are pretty familiar with it, but the Ramban brings the idea, that's also brought in the Gemara in many places, that God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested. There's an idea in Chazal that it's actually in Tehillim that says that one day for God is like 1,000 years for man. And so basically, once Adam blew the task of being able to pull it off in a day, so now we have to pull it off in 7,000 years, right? So now we have 6,000 years of effort, and 1,000, that 7,000 years is the 1,000 years of Shabbat of perfection. Okay, so now, what's that?
Still have another 2 months.
Exactly, we still have a little bit of time. Okay. Okay.
Like 982 or 984 or 987 is different opinions.
So okay. So now what I want to say though is that so now we're beginning to understand why Shabbat is in the list of holidays, but it's offset. Eile Moadei Hashem was Shabbat, and this is Eile Moadei Hashem Pesach v'chule. Right? Why the two? Because they're parallel. They're both trying to reach the same thing. There are seven holidays, recalling, like you said, the seventh day of Shabbat. They are parallel. And that's why we have these two sections that are parallel. You could have done it in one day, the Shabbat, which is the goal, or you can do it in the seven holidays over the 6,000 years to get to that ultimate Shabbat. The two are parallel, exactly like Rashi said. So if you take a look here, Rashi says, Ma inyan Shabbat etzel hamoadot. Why is Shabbat? This is the very. I'm just quoting again what we did. It's at the very. It's the last source on the fourth page. It's what we read before. What does Shabbat have to do with the holidays? If you violate the holidays, it's like you violated Shabbat, that principle that we're trying to achieve. And if you keep the holidays, it's not that you don't have to keep Shabbat. If you keep the holidays, so you've achieved what keeping the Shabbat is, meaning that ultimate Shabbat, like Adam HaRishon was supposed to achieve. And so the two are separate, but they're together, they're parallel, they're all about creation. They're all about how we're supposed to try to get from the beginning of creation to the end of creation, from God making Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to blowing it and being in the 6,000 years where God finally brought the Jewish people and we inculcate the idea of perfecting the world and being the Mamlechet Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh to get to that ultimate Shabbat, which is the goal of creation. Shabbat Shalom.